the Alliance for Aviation Across America, its beginning, growth, and future. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aeronews. Welcome into the Aeronews special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Selena Shalad, who is the Executive Director of the Alliance for Aviation Across America. A few days ago, the Alliance sent out a press release noting the crossing of the 5,500 member milestone. And it dawned on me when I read that, that back in the early days of 2007, when the Alliance was being first formed and announced, I wasn't sure if this was a long-term organization or not. And nobody's in a better position to tell us about the early history of this group and where it's going now than Selena is. And Selena, thanks for taking some time for our listeners today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's back up before the Alliance was even a glimmer in somebody's eye and talk about your background, your contact with aviation, and what you brought to this position, because this organization was created basically from scratch. What made you the person to take this position?
Well, before the Alliance was formed, I actually did not have any prior experience in aviation, albeit an interest. What my background was in was specifically in politics and in communications. And I think, as I've mentioned, the Alliance was really born out of sort of a growing consensus among those directly in and outside of the general aviation community that we all needed to do a better job of communicating the importance of general aviation, particularly, for smaller towns and local communities out there across the company who otherwise wouldn't have access to a whole host of resources. And, given my prior sort of political and campaign and communications experience, it just sort of came about out of a series of conversations that I would sort of come on board and help to really communicate that message and help with a lot of the day-to-day activities, which have fortunately grown tremendously since we first started this endeavor.
Okay, we're always hearing conversations surrounding public policy that have to do with direct experience in the thing that you're lobbying for, regulating for, managing. I know one of the big things I remember in my life, because, my mom was a teacher, my wife used to be a teacher, is you would hear conversations among teachers who would say, you can't be an effective administrator unless you've first been a teacher. But that's kind of really a different skill set to work the political side. Tell me what you've come to know about aviation and appreciate about it since you took on this project from the political side.
I think personally I've always had an interest in aviation, and I think that prior to this experience worked on just a number of different policy issues. What I have loved shoulders above anything else that I've worked on is just how enthusiastic and passionate people are who are either engaged with aviation or do aviation on a daily basis, or who, are involved in a lot of different organizations that touch on aviation. And trying to get people to take action to help to communicate the importance of this lifeline has been, in many ways a lot easier than it would be on any other issue. And that's a direct testament to the people that are aviators or who love aviation. And frankly, just to be a part of that, really enthusiastic, energetic, passionate group of people is something that's been extremely personally rewarding to me. And that combined with the fact that, I've always been interested in aviation, I think it's, personally been an exceptionally rewarding experience for me.
All right, let's go back to the early days of the Alliance, because as I alluded to in the beginning here, when I first saw the Alliance forming, I thought it was probably a carefully crafted political response to the single issue of user fees. And, it started out with about 100 members, and it grew quickly to include organizations that intuitively made sense to be on board in fighting something that would hurt general aviation. But the user fee thing subsided, first the Bush administration And then the Obama administration seemed to understand, they seemed to respond to the idea that, look, we're not saying we don't want to pay for it. We just want to pay for it in a clean tax rather than in a messy user fee situation. That seemed to play well with some pressure with both administrations. Why didn't the alliance go away, and what other things sustain the effort?
I think that it was, in great part due to all the different stakeholders who are involved in that effort, a big success, and I think a success in terms of being able to communicate the message. And I think that the direct reason for that success was the ability of us and many, many, many others who are involved in that effort to just give people the tools and resources to tell their own story about, for example, how user fees would affect their own business, how user fees would affect their own personal ability to do charitable flights or to transport blood and platelets back and forth between, major cities within a given state, or any of those just hundreds of thousands of direct testimonials. You know, rather than us kind of going out as a DC organization and trying to talk in very sort of wonky policy speak about the adverse effects of a certain policy, our goal and what we've always aimed to do was to, you know, help our members to tell stories to their local elected officials and to their local members of the media and to their local public. And that we have always believed that it will be far more effective if you approach it in that way, then, you know, having it come from sort of a DC entity and talking about it strictly in terms of policy. And I think that once the user fee battle was over, you know, that still remains as a really great need, within aviation to tell, to have our members, tell the story about just how important aviation is, and general aviation in particular, whether it's law enforcement or medical care or disaster relief or a whole host of things. And, you know, whether it's other policy challenges that we've seen or, just ways that we can tell the story about the great work that general aviation does, whether it's, you know, helping to fight fires out west, or whether it was part of the efforts in response to Hurricane Katrina or in Haiti or whatever it is. I think that those are just still great, great stories that, you know, we're able to tell and that we aim to tell on a daily basis. That's really part of our mission. And, you know, one other thing I'd add to that is I think what's really unique is just, you know, we go so far beyond just general aviation groups and those who work directly at airports or work to fly planes and, you know, without And the groups that do focus on those specific populations are extremely important and crucial to this effort to educate the public. But I think it's also, you know, really great to have, medical operators and doctors and hospital associations and mayors and the really broad cross-section of groups and individuals that we have in the Alliance telling our story as well.
More in a moment with Selena Shalad, Executive Director of the Alliance for Aviation Across America. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Selena Shalad of the Alliance for Aviation Across America. Selena, let me look at what's happened in the past couple of weeks and ask you about the Alliance's role in this. We've seen I think 60 mayors and 17 governors either sign petitions or participate in letters to the president or enact proclamations supporting general aviation in their states. How has there been a lot of quiet work going on by the alliance to make this happen? Because it almost seems like it all came to pass at a very narrow focus of time.
Yeah, you know, we certainly could not take credit for all the great, you know, products that have happened and all the great work that's happened over the last year or so. But it definitely has been our focus. You know, late last year, we launched an economic impact survey, which is the cornerstone of our website. And when you go to that economic impact survey, we've aimed to pull together all the publicly available data that's out there on the economic impact of general aviation nationally, as well as in every state in the country. When you click on that, you can also see each airport and each congressional district, and we're now in the process of adding the economic impact of each airport in about 20 to 25 states. And I think that, you know, following on that, we thought that that really provided a great hook and a good angle, you know, to get out there and highlight the importance of general aviation in each state. And to that end, we really sought to, you know, work with all of our local members, whether they were local and state Department of Transportation or Department of Aeronautics officials or mayors, chambers of commerce, state, you know, aviation pilots associations, and urge them, you know, to pass proclamations and resolutions recognizing the importance of general aviation. And, you know, it's a direct testament to them, to all of them out in these states that all of that good work has happened. And, you know, we really just, you know, work to be there as a support and a resource, to help, in any way that we can to facilitate that. And I think, you know, we've seen some great luck. And I think, you know, as different states have started to pass it, it's really, helped to, motivate other states to do so. And so it's just been kind of a great, perfect storm of a lot of different factors, I think, that's resulted in, all of this great, I think, building awareness about how important general aviation is.
I want to close by asking you, aside from supporting the individual stakeholders, in other words, if we're members of the League of Rural Voters or AOPA, obviously supporting the organizations that make up parts of the alliance is important, but what can people do or what would you want people to do to directly support the alliance? What makes your job easier for me as an individual? What can I do for you?
Right. Well, you know, obviously, coming to the website, learning about what we're doing, and becoming a member, at a minimum. Second of all, you know, we are, still a pretty, I think, you know, I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish, but we're still a shoestring, operating on a pretty shoestring budget, and it's, rests primarily on the contributions of our members. And so, as people sign up, we have sort of different tiers of completely voluntary memberships that are paid if people want to give a small donation to us, and that is always helpful. And, you know, also all of these things that we're doing, you know, we're trying to do a couple things. First, get out there to the greatest extent that we can around the country and tell our story about who we are, what we're doing, and how we can be a resource to our members. So the extent to which people have different, you know, opportunities or things that they think we should be at to tell that story, we'd love to know. And, you know, our economic impact survey is really the cornerstone of what we've been working on over the last year. So, you know, we had to launch that with a big caveat that it was going to be a big work in progress. So the last thing I'd say is people see, you know, things in there that need to be updated or new economic or additional economic impact data in their local community, we'd love to know about it. Really establishing the communication with us and figuring out ways that we can be helping you and you can be helping us is the number one thing that we can do and that they can do for us.
You know, I'm just going to observe that when I got into my radio broadcast career, I didn't want to become a disc jockey because I was interested in playing my favorite records on the air. Unlike most of the people who were doing that at the time, I was fascinated by the communications process. I was geeked out about how to get an idea successfully and clearly across a medium to another person. And it sounds like you're that same kind of geek, if you'll excuse me that expression.
Very much so. We're always trying to figure out new, different, better ways to communicate this message. The good thing is, like I said, we have just an army of amazing partners around the country who are enthusiastic and creative and motivated to help us do that. So it really is it's a great job to have, and we're really excited about this milestone. These days our website's getting thousands of web visits every day. People are really using the data, and we're really just excited about the growth that we've had, and most importantly, the future.
Well, Selena, I'm excited about the future too, and I'm very thankful to get the chance to know you a little bit better, because I think you're doing very important work, and I think you are going to be in the news at least periodically for the foreseeable future. And thanks for taking some time out for our listeners to explain your background a little bit, and more importantly, the Alliance. And just thanks for doing that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Selena Shalad is the Executive Director of the Alliance for Aviation Across America. Find out more at aviationacrossamerica.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.